Are you tired of feeling like your home is constantly in a state of chaos? Like you find yourself overwhelmed by the never-ending tasks of household management, wishing for just a sense of peace and order amidst the hustle and bustle of family life? If that's you, you are not alone. Today, we're diving into the deep world of home and time management, and with a special guest today, you're going to learn how to streamline your daily routines to reclaim that precious time for the things that truly matter. All while cultivating this atmosphere of harmony and cooperation within your household, there's going to be actionable strategies that will revolutionize the way you approach home management. Are you ready? Let's dive in. You're listening to Radiant Womanhood, the podcast for multi-passionate women who are ready to shake off their limitations, dream big, and live fully. I'm Tabitha Blue, a wife, mom of six, author, life coach, and entrepreneur, and I know firsthand the challenges women can experience when it comes to balancing life's demands, staying true to yourself, and navigating the many curveballs life can throw. And guess what? I'm obsessed with helping you navigate all the crazy seasons of this thing called life with confidence and grace. Join me each week as I delve into topics from habit making to goal setting, career balancing to relationship nurturing, and everything in between, helping you get out of your own way and embody the radiance within. So grab your headphones, shut out the distractions, and get ready to shine. Let's dive in. Okay, you guys, I am so excited for this episode today. We are tackling one of those sought-after skills kind of in the parenting playbook, really. It's that mastering that time and energy. I feel like a lot of times you're struggling with juggling a career and kids or both. But this episode is going to be a guide to reclaiming some of that control, even in the midst of what can feel like chaos. And so joining us today is Ashley Bufa of Freedom Moms. She is a seasoned mompreneur. So she has a business running with 10 kids at home. But what's exciting for her right now is it's going on number 11 kids. And she's an expert in this time and energy management. So I am really excited to welcome Ashley with us today. Ashley, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here today.
Right? I think that's something that we get questioned so often is just, how do you do this? Or how do I break out of kind of what I'm feeling overwhelmed in to start this new thing that I want to do or move into something else? And so I'm really excited for this chat today and to be able to talk about that. But I would love if you just took a moment and shared with our audience like a little bit of your background, who you are, and how you even got started in helping moms with really this, the juggle of balance and time.
Yeah. So I guess my real journey into actually learning how to balance everything started probably about 10 years ago. I was pregnant with my 7th child, and all of my kids were 12 and under, I think. I should probably go back and fact check. We'll know. They were all 12 and under, we'll say today. And I had not learned the art of delegation. And so I was trying and failing at keeping, you know, the household running by myself, not doing a great job of it, and also not doing a great job of homeschooling. Basically, all of the home stuff, I just wasn't really doing a great job of, but I was still trying to do it because I had in the back of my head that like, this was doable. You know, other people can do it. I should be able to do it. And so I had in my head that, you know, I needed to figure it out. And I was reading Farmer Boy to my kids as a read aloud. And I just remember reading that book to them and thinking to myself, okay, there's 4 kids on this farm. The kids are an integral part of the running of the home and the farm. You know, the oldest kid here is like 12, and the parents were able to like leave for weeks to go visit family with a full running farm. And the kids just like, it was no big deal. And I was like, that is not what is happening in my home.
I can't leave for an hour. How is that? Yeah.
You know, I mean, I was floored by that. And so I was like, that was really the motivation for me to be like, okay, if they can do this with no running water and, you know, all of this stuff, surely I can figure out with all of the modern conveniences available to me how to have a smoothly running home and still get other stuff done too. Mm-hmm. Because the mother in that story was also, you know, selling eggs and butter and, you know, all this stuff, you know. So that was really the impetus for me to get inspired, you know, how to figure out how to get the house running. And so I did, little by little, I decided to just test one thing at a time instead of trying to do a whole overhaul, because I am very much an all or nothing person. That's why I have 11 children. You know, I don't do things small, but that was really holding me back in trying to figure all this out, because I would be like, okay, today is the day our lives are going to change, and, you know, fail like halfway through the day. So I decided to do it smart and make one change at a time, keep the changes that worked, drop the changes that didn't, and little by little figure out. So first I realized that in order for our house to start running, I had to be a better manager. Like, I can't expect the children to be better at chores and cleaning and being responsible than I myself was, you know, which kind of like a moment. And I say that all the time in my programs. You can't expect your children to be, you know, more diligent than you yourself are. So I realized I needed to start with myself. And so I did, little by little. I figured out, you know, how is this mother of seven going to do all of this and homeschool? And I wasn't really even trying to do the business stuff. I had done it a few years prior and burnt out. And so that was on hold anyway. So I got myself to the point where I was running things and I was doing a great job. And then I was like, okay, now it's time to pull the kids in and we're gonna do this together. So I did the same thing. It was very experimental. It was very trial and error, one thing at a time. And slowly but surely, 6 months later, we had this team that was, I mean, it was amazing. It was wow. Completely night and day from what it had been before. And that's basically how I started my programs, all of my different courses, was, you know, that journey that we went on. And it probably took a full year before we really had it dialed in. And still today, we're, you know, it's the same thing we're doing today that we did before. So that was really how it started. And then once I got that down and we did that for a few years, that's when I decided, because I had people constantly asking me, how do you do it? How do you do all of this? And so I decided to go ahead and make courses and make those available. And, you know, the rest is history.
Right. Oh, that's so cool. I was intrigued or really caught by a few things that you said. And for one, I think even at the beginning where you kind of said that you felt like you were failing, and I think that's where a lot of just people, not even females and not even moms, but yes, both, but just people in general feel like we are a lot of times in our life. And what's crazy about that is you were already homeschooling. I mean, you were sitting there reading with your kids. So what's beautiful in all that is you were a great mother already, even in that moment of feeling like failing. But then you were also able to take that instead of just saying, okay, I'm failing, I'm a failure, and kind of throw up your hands and stay in the same cycle. You were able to say, but okay, what are the things I can look at to change and make a little bit better? And I thought that was really beautiful how you even brought up, you looked at yourself first and said, okay, how am I going to expect my kids to be good time managers and all of, you know, home managers and responsible with these things if I'm not showing that myself? And so I think that's powerful. That's really important because, I mean, I think we've all been there, I think, where I'll say this from experience with six kids, you know, let's implement a chart system and let's implement this, which are important and can be good. But if that's all it is, instead of changing first my example, or looking at first me, what am I doing? Am I setting a good example with my time or being responsible for my things or all of that? Is that even going to carry over?
Yeah.
And I realized that, I mean, even really recently, I was talking with my kids about cleaning their rooms, and I usually keep my bed made and my room, you know, pretty picked up, but then realized like, but there are still times when I'm tired and I'll throw my clothes in a pile on the floor. And so I walk from their room into mine and I have a couple of piles here that I haven't taken care of, all that. And kind of almost like you, that same light bulb moment of why am I asking my kids to do this thing when they could, they were being respectful and kind to me, but they could have said, Mom, your room is the same.
You know, that's the thing, you know, because kids pick up on stuff like that. And I think not just even the actions of being a good time manager and keeping, you know, your stuff clean, but also our attitudes about it. Because one of the top questions that I get from moms is, how do I get my kids to do this with a good attitude instead of throwing a fit or sighing or moaning or slamming things around? And the first question I ask them is, how is your attitude about the cleaning that you do? Because 9 times out of 10, they're just being a mirror to our own attitude about things. So it always starts with us, unfortunately, because that is something that we can control.
That's so good. I think if we were to end this podcast episode right here, right now, like that's huge. That's it right there. That's so good.
It really is.
Are we a living example of what we want our kids to walk out? And that's so important. I actually just on our Radiant Womanhood Instagram page posted this morning about perspective. And I think it's really similar to that in the sense of the beginning was talking about how gratitude changes things, where instead of saying, I have to, started with, and I get to create a meal for my family. Instead of, oh, I have to cook dinner right now. Why are they always wanting to eat? Which I've said before. Or, you know, I get to clean up after this because I'm blessed with these little hands and little feet that leave crumbs all over. But really, that just brought it home, what you said, really thinking about it. What is my perspective? What am I speaking and acting and living at home as an example for my kids? I think that's so important.
It is, in all aspects of life, not just chores. Everything. I mean, you know, we have to be a good example. We can't expect our children to be more emotionally mature than we are. Yeah. It just, you know, ouch.
Right. Like, okay. Right. But what's crazy is so many times we know.
Yes.
Why aren't you having a good attitude? Why aren't you this? And we're not necessarily showing them what a good attitude looks like or what gratitude looks like for taking care of the things that we're blessed to have.
They are always clutching.
Okay. So I think that was a huge, really good first point. I think we've already hit a couple of them, but really just that when we are seeing actions in our kids or attitudes in our kids, first ask ourselves, what attitude do I have? Especially towards the things in the home, if that's what we're, you know, specifically leaning towards or talking about.
Right.
As an entrepreneur and a mom of 6, my mornings start quick and early. But I've learned that what I consume in the morning really sets the tone for my day. And yes, I am talking about saving the scrolling for later in the day, but I'm also talking about a healthy morning latte for heightened focus and smooth, long-lasting energy. It can seem overwhelming with endless options when it comes to choosing your daily bevs. So why not fuel your mind while you fuel your body, while you skip the jitters and afternoon crash? I've been using Clever Superfood Latte blends this past year as I made adjustments to focus on my health, and I am not turning back. Each Clever blend contains 3 powerful adaptogens, 500 million heat-safe probiotics, and healthy superfoods wrapped up in a decadent oat milk latte. Just add water, froth, and voila! A couple of my faves are the mocha and chai, but there are many delicious ones to choose from. So go to cleverblends.com and use my code FreshMommy15 for a discount just for you. That's CleverBlends.com and code FreshMommy15.
So how did you begin to implement some of those changes with your kids? Like after you began, okay, I'm changing some of the ways I act or do things and then bringing them on board for it.
Okay, so I think that learning the art of empathy is huge. I have one of those memories. I don't forget much. Like I can play back my life like a movie. So I remember very specifically the feelings that I would have when my poor mother would say, we're going to clean the house today. You know, it would be a Saturday and it would be very open-ended. We're going to clean today. And I just remember the feeling of dread because that is, how do you quantify that? When are we done? How long? Which rooms? What does clean look like? You know, so I just remember feeling like, oh my gosh, we're going to be here all day. And we were.
And those definitions, I feel like, could change based on mom's mood.
Exactly. Like if we start whining, it's going to be even worse, you know?
Right.
And so I just remember I hated that. Like, and it was never about, you know, let's take care of the home that God has blessed us with. It was like, we're going to clean today. And it was just so open-ended. And so that was something that I decided I was going to not do, that I was going to improve on what my mother, you know, started, which is, you know, the desire for a clean home. I'm going to improve on this and see if I can't make this less painful for everybody, including myself. So what I started doing was getting the timer out and saying, okay, for 5 minutes, all of us are going to pick up this room. And at the end of 5 minutes, we're just going to stop. Like, everybody has to work hard. If you're not working hard, you get an extra 5 minutes. But let's see if we can get the whole room clean in 5 minutes. But then I would quantify, what does that look like? It means nothing is on the floor. The floor has been vacuumed. The end tables have been straightened up. There are no cups and glasses that are still, you know, so I would go through the list. Like, what does that look like? What does everybody need to be doing? If for my younger children, I would give them very specific, small jobs, one at a time. I would put on some fun music. And for 5 minutes, we would all do it. And at the end of that 5 minutes, whether we were done or not, I kept my word and we were done. And, you know, just making those small changes in the way that we, you know, approached cleaning the house made all the difference in the world, because you can do anything for 5 minutes. You can do anything for 5 minutes, especially if your mother is being pleasant, you know, right, and keeping her word and putting on some upbeat music. And so it became not so much, it wasn't drudgery anymore. It was like, hey, we're going to spend 5 minutes pulling this room back together. Then you can go on your merry way. And, you know, I would, if the room was a total disaster and I knew that 5 minutes would not be enough, then I would warn them ahead of time. I would say, we'll take an hour break and then we'll come back and do another five, you know, so kind of set the time, you know, we want to end up with a clean living room by the end of the day. So we'll do this 5 minutes at a time, but I would keep my word about it and, you know, just be really diligent with my own attitude, making sure that everybody knew what was expected of them. You know, so those were the types of like little tweaks that I made at the very beginning, and we would call them 5 minute family cleanups. And, you know, on a Saturday, like if the whole house is a disaster, then we would just kind of like, you know, do a rotation of, you know, 5 minutes on, 30 minutes off, and just keep doing it all day until each room was clean and it would be clean. So that was kind of like the beginning of everything, just keeping it short, keeping it pleasant, quantifying everything. And then it wasn't, you know, I kind of reset the tone for what cleaning in our house looked like and felt like. And from there, I was able to branch out. And, you know, I quickly learned that when you quantify things for kids that way, when you make it really clear what you're looking for and really clear when they're done, it's not nearly as difficult to get buy-in. So those were really the most important things was, you know, keeping it to a set time, using that timer, and then quantifying exactly what I wanted done. And yeah, it makes a huge difference than just saying, we need to clean this room.
Right. Like you said, and then that just, that dread for the whole rest of my day is gone.
Right.
But even like how you said, you really just, it changed the tone. And I think like, I could even picture as you were talking, and to be honest, we've actually done some of that because of you, because I've done one of your courses. So thank you for that. But really just, I could picture in my head of the shift in the whole feeling. Like you said, the tone of the home. For one, the whole family's together. You're doing it together. You're not singling someone out. You go do this, but let's do this. Like you said, so it's kind of almost like a family bonding slash we're getting this done together slash it's also fun and no one's doing it alone. I feel like for my younger ones, really, that's what seems to stop them is this idea in their head of this job is too big for me. I can't do it by myself or I'm overwhelmed. And so the whole thing brings out this feeling of dread because, you know, if I say go clean up your room, that's an overwhelming thing. Yes. Because there's just too many things. But to say, let's do this together, let's set a timer. It also doesn't overwhelm me because I don't want to be the one cleaning it all either. And I don't think that, you know, I think empowering our kids with responsibility for this is how we take care of our things. Not all the things in the home are all mine. I didn't bring out the toys and all this. So let's all be responsible for our things. It helps foster that in them. But also like that doing it together isn't really overwhelming for for any one person.
Right.
And I think that's the beauty of that.
Yes.
That whole thing. And just like you said, anyone can do anything for 5 minutes. We just actually, a couple weeks ago, had a podcast episode talking about that. And that was for really our own minds and our own mindsets and procrastination and how we get into things. And one of the tips on that is for us as adults, not even for kids, set a timer for 5 minutes and do those things that feel hard. You can do hard things. You know, and for us as adults, it's kind of to get us started. A lot of times we're able to keep going.
Yes.
But that's also really important, like you said, when you have your family involved and kids involved, keep your word that they are allowed to stop and be done when that timer happens.
Right. Because the thing that happens is, you know, if you get to the end of 5 minutes and you didn't make as much progress as you had hoped, and you're like, well, let's just go ahead and do another 5 minutes. They are not going to trust you. And so the next time you try to do that, you're going to get pushback because they're going to know, well, mom says five, but what she really means is 30. Mm-hmm. You know, so yes, it's important for the next time that everybody is working together to keep your word that first time and every time thereafter, because otherwise what you're saying doesn't mean anything. Mm. So you're kind of, you know, tying one arm behind your back at that point. So,
right. Which is really an important life lesson in general. We want our kids to be able to grow up trusting our word. When mom says this, that's exactly what she meant. I can take her at her word and know, you know.
Yes. And it's also teaching them how to be parents. Mm. You know, I'm always looking at the long view here. And it's like, I don't want my daughters to have to go through those years and years and years of struggle to get their own kids. I want them to like pick up the good habits that they saw in me and then be able to, you know, then replicate them and go even further than I did. You know, we should all want our kids to go further and do better than we did. And each generation, I mean, I see that happening in our own family. You know, each generation should be improving on what the previous generation did. And it shouldn't be like, I'm getting into like grandmother territory here, but it shouldn't be like, oh, well, they're not doing this the way that I did it. And so that makes me feel like what I did wasn't good enough. Or, you know, like there's sometimes moms end up having those weird feelings. It's like, no, we should want our kids to improve on the best of what we did so yes, that they can go even further and do even better as moms and as dads than what we did. So I'm always like looking at that long view and it's like, I want the happiest little grandkids on earth.
Yes. And the way
those is by making sure my own kids know how to parent.
Yeah, that's beautiful though, and a beautiful way to see it. It's not, we don't want, yeah, like you said, we want them to learn the best that we were able to show and then build from that and make something even more beautiful than what we were able to do, to come up with, to dream up and take it and keep going. And I think also just in that, it builds so much confidence.
Yes.
So much confidence. There's a show I used to do. We haven't done it in a while, but my kids like it. And I would take turns with each of them. It was called Kitchen Wise. And it was called that because I wanted my kids to be wise in the kitchen, to feel confident in the kitchen. So it was a cooking show and they would just help me cook a meal and they would be the one that helped chop or pour or measure or stir. And even from little age, they really enjoyed doing it just because they love, especially at that young age, they love to help. They love to be able to do it. I mean, when we start to make something like in the morning smoothies, the twins can't really say smoothie yet. They call it, it sounds like they're saying, I want a movie. But they're saying, I want a smoothie and I want to help make a movie. They want to help make the smoothie and they climb right up on the counter and they want to pour and do all the things. And when we don't allow them to help, I feel like we are taking that thing that they could be proud of away, that opportunity for them to be proud of themselves. We take that away and in essence are kind of saying, I can do it better than you. So I'm just going to do it. Or right. I don't feel like, not that we're saying this with our words,
right,
but with our actions, we're kind of saying, I don't feel like you're capable of doing this. So I'm going to do it.
Right.
But then when are they going to learn how to be capable of doing it or have right, the confidence to know that I am capable of doing this thing, whether it's making toast or making pancakes or making a smoothie or whatever it is, to where now my 10 to, well, 17-year-old can make almost anything. They can go through a recipe. They can cook. They can boil a pot of water. They can do all the things. Do we make them cook for us all the time? No. But do they enjoy cooking? Yes, they do. But also, I feel like it's because they feel confident that they're able to.
Yes.
They just feel empowered that I can.
Yeah. And I think honestly, I think like cooking chores are the most fun for a kid.
Yes.
I mean, because then you get to eat something delicious at the, like, it's just, it's
more fun,
you know?
Right.
So, you know, and I personally love to be in the kitchen. My own mother fostered that when I was younger. She would always pull me in when we were doing, you know, Easter and Thanksgiving and Christmas. Mm-hmm. And she would be like, hey, can you make the pies? And I'd be like, what? She'd just be like, just get started. Let me know if you have any questions.
Yeah.
But she did. She really helped foster that. You know, my own kids, you know, sometimes I'm like, can I please cook in my own kitchen? Like, because they're like, I want to make dinner and I'll make dessert. And it's like, excuse me, I would like to make dinner. But that, I think it's just fantastic. And I think, you know, enthusiasm from kids who are wanting to help, like, it just makes life so much easier. And so why wouldn't we just say, yes, go forth and create, please.
Right.
Yeah.
I think for me, one of the bigger things was, well, first, there was a quote that I read, and really it was talking about the fastest way to break the cycle of perfectionism is to give up the idea of perfection, of doing it perfectly, and embrace like the imperfection and the uncertainty. So I think for me, sometimes giving kids the reins of even that in the kitchen, it wouldn't even be like the meal wouldn't be perfect, but it's more for me like the cleanup after, or even with different tasks, folding towels. My 7-year-old likes to fold towels differently, and I think it's just for fun at this point. But at the same time, what am I saying when I take it over and do it instead? And so for me, I think a lot of it was being able to let go of the idea of everything done perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because, you know, one of the things I say throughout most of my programs is done is better than perfect.
Mm.
Does it matter that they folded the towels into fourths instead of thirds if it's done and you didn't have to do it? You know, no, it actually doesn't. You know, and I remember there's this meme that was going around Instagram, and it said, my toxic trait is never letting my family help with the cleaning, but then also complaining that nobody ever helps with the cleaning. And it's like, you know, ladies, we are shooting ourselves in the foot. If we have, you know, my 4-year-old, he loves to help me fold dish towels. And I mean, they look like a disaster, but he's happy and I didn't have to do it. You know, I mean, if I had had to sit there and fold all of those dish towels, it would have taken me 20 minutes. He gave me 20 minutes of my life back and he was happy to do it. So why do I, like, no, I do not care.
Yes.
And on the same, you know, the same side of that coin is that, you know, as they are getting older, we should be teaching them the standard. So, you know, like my son can fold those dish towels and I'll be just pleased as punch. Now, my teenage daughters, if they were to fold the dish towels, I'm going to make sure and show them, hey, let's make them look like this, because when it's all stacked up and it all, you know, it has a nicer look. So this is the proper way to do it. Now, I'm not going to do that in a like really like condescending and critiquing voice. It's just like, hey, this is the proper way to do it. And look how nice it looks. And, you know, more of an encouraging, like, let me show you the best way to do this type thing. But I think it's important in the beginning to just let them help and not go back and be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that you did it like that. You know, you need to be teaching and encouraging them at the same time. But yeah, I'm so happy I don't have to fold dish towels, because those take forever because they're small, you know?
Right. Yes. And it frees us up to, like, kind of, even like you said at the beginning, it's family all doing it together. Doesn't mean the exact same thing together, but it means we're all doing something that's contributing to the good or to the peace of our home.
Right.
And it sounds like even from what you're sharing is really, as moms, I mean, I guess I can even ask that straight up, as moms that are searching for some peace in the home amidst what can feel chaotic or just chaos. You know, it sounds like a lot of that is the answer, is really working to bring the family on board, mm-hmm. and being like, this is our home. Let's be responsible for our home together.
Right. And it's also, you know, we work as a team, you know, so after dinner cleanup, like, everybody's working until the job is done. Nobody's going and watching TV when, you know, one or two people are doing all the work. That's just not the way. Like, let's all do this until the job is done. And then it's done so much faster. And then our kitchen is clean. And we did this. And it's just not even a big deal anymore. And nobody feels overworked and underappreciated. You know, it's just, it does end up all falling together. Now, does it take a ton of work to get to that point where everybody has buy-in and everybody is like, they know what they're doing? And yeah, it does. It takes a lot of time, but time is going by whether you're using it productively or not.
Right.
A year from now, you could have a house that is running smoothly and you're not having to do everything yourself and feeling resentful about it. Or you could still be doing everything and complaining and being bitter. Like either way, 2025 is just around the corner.
Yeah.
It's coming. So would you rather work towards getting to the point where your family is operating as a team, or would you rather continue to be a martyr? It's just, you know, it's a choice. It's a choice.
That's really good. That's really good. So what do you feel like, I guess, the first step? I know you kind of mentioned probably that the 5-minute timer thing being the first step, but is that what you would say, like, you know, what are a couple of the steps to take to really get there? Thinking, okay, in a year, yes, I would love my home to be more peaceful, a place where we work as a team, where it's not every time I'm having to tell every single person, can you do this? Can you do that? You know, so what are some of those steps really to?
Yeah. So the first step, I would say, you need to get yourself in order. Like if your house is a total disaster and you don't know what to do about it, like that's step one. Learn what clean looks like. Learn how to get there, because otherwise it literally is the blind leading the blind. Your kids need to be able to follow someone who knows where they're going, you know? So that's really step one. Step two would be to quantify what it is you want. So not just saying, oh, I want a peaceful home where everybody's working together. That is not specific enough. Like that's the overall tone that you want. But what does that actually look like? What does your home look like after breakfast is done? Like what needs to happen? And like get extraordinarily granular. You know, the dishes need to be cleared off the table. The table needs to be wiped. The chairs need to be pushed in. The floor around the table needs to be swept. The counters in the kitchen need, like every single thing that your ideal home would have happen, you know, and I recommend doing it in like breakfast, after lunch, if you're homeschooling, after dinner, afternoon, before bed, you know, so like have different anchors throughout the day. And then you need to write out specifically exactly what you want to happen. Like, what is your goal? And that doesn't mean that you're going to immediately jump into that. Like I said, like it has to be very gradual, one thing at a time, but you would use that then as your roadmap.
Mm-hmm. You can't get somewhere if you don't know where that place is.
Right. Kids know when you're making stuff up on the fly. Like, I mean, they have BS detectors.
They do.
They really know. And the other part of that is too, this has been tremendously helpful in my own life, is you need to look the part, mom. You may think that that has nothing to do with anything, but I am telling you what, my kids respect me so much more when I look like I mean business, you know, that means like wash your hair, you know, put on an outfit that you would not be embarrassed if someone from church stopped by, and like make yourself presentable, make yourself look like you mean business. Because when you look like you mean business, you act like you mean business. Mm-hmm. And so your kids are going to respect you more. Like somebody has to be in charge, you know, but not just be in charge. You have to look like you're in charge. It helps so much. Wow. It helps me as a mom, like be more, you know, just be more of an authority. Because if I were to roll downstairs one morning and, you know, have on, you know, holy sweatpants and my hair in a messy bun, my kids would walk all over me. They would be like, oh, she's not feeling well. Let's, you know, let's mutiny. So that actually is a really important part. Like you need to look like you're in charge, but then, you know, tackle it slowly, one thing at a time. I always recommend never introduce a chore. Like never introduce more than one chore at a time. You have to gradually build a habit slowly over time. Once the child is really, you know, proficient at it, then you add another one in. Mm-hmm. But don't just like hand your kid a list of 20 chores that you want done daily and be like, and this is what life looks like now.
Yes. We just went from zero to everything. Yes.
That's a terrible idea. And it's why your chore chart doesn't work. Because when a mom has a chore chart, it's all filled out and it is a complete change for her. It's a complete change for the kids. It's a complete change for dad. And everybody knows that's not how change is made. It's not made cold turkey. You have to ease into it little by little, gradually adding a new habit. And that is how actual lasting change is made.
That's so good. That's so good. That right there applies to every part of our lives. Yes. Adults, children. I mean, I feel like that, especially we just hit the beginning of the year and went into a new year. And I feel like that's what happens a lot of times with resolutions. Like, I'm going to work out every day. I'm going to do this and this. And we have this list where we get through. I used to do it that way. I don't do it that way anymore because it doesn't work. You'd get through a few days and then you'd just be exhausted. And I want to relax and I need some space. I need to breathe for a minute. And then kind of all of it ends up going out the window.
Yep.
But how do we build a new habit? One small step at a time.
Yep.
Just
little
one
at a time.
Just doing it over and over. And I think that's like right there. That's how we do it. Why we just went full circle. We just went back to the beginning of what we were talking about. That's how we build new habits. That's how we change our lives. Why would we expect our children to do it any differently?
Right. Our children who are not as developed and mature as we are.
Right.
Don't have as much practice in life as we do.
Yes.
But yes, we're going to hand them a list of 20 chores and be like, go get it, tiger.
And be okay with it and do it happily.
It makes sense.
Right. Makes a lot of sense. Oh, that's so good. Ashley, thank you so much for joining us today. I think that you've shared so many nuggets of wisdom, so much hope and helpful tips, and just really the mindset of we can have this tone at our home for when it starts with us, and we can start today with those little changes. It doesn't have to be overwhelming. Yes, if we were to say we want to change everything in our home to look like this by tomorrow, that would be overwhelming for me as well.
Yes.
But really looking at it, that long-term goal. What do I want my home to look like? What do I want it to feel like? We do that when we do vision boards. We're like, what do we want your life to look like and feel like in a year from now or in 5 years from now? Well, this is that. Vision what you want the home to look like and feel like and your family to work together as. And then kind of like you said, get granular, get nitty gritty with it. What does that mean? What does that really look like? And
right.
Then how can we get there slowly and steadily? And together, encouraging together. And I really love that. So thank you so much for being on Radiant Womanhood today. Everyone, check out Ashley online. It's freedommoms.com. And definitely check out some of her programs. And again, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Yes. And enjoy the rest of this pregnancy, number 11. Congratulations early.
2 more months to go. Yay.
I'm excited for you.
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode of Radiant Womanhood. If you want more, head on over to radiantwomanhood.com for show notes. And if you enjoyed this episode, I'd be so grateful if you could take a few moments to rate and review the show. Don't forget to hit the follow button to stay updated on our latest episodes. Friend, I love hearing from you. So shoot me a DM at Instagram at Radiant Womanhood or at Tabitha Blue to carry on the conversation. And if you believe the remarkable women in your life could benefit from this episode, share the link with them to spread the love. Until next time, friend, keep shining.